Well, good morning, church. Let's stand together. We're glad you're here today. Let me invite you, where you are, wherever you're at today, whatever's happened in your life, let's lift up the name of Jesus together. Let's set our hearts and our minds on Him today as we celebrate His goodness and His grace today. Come on, let's sing.
A place where your love is found, a place where forgiveness and joy abounds, where one endless song resounds, how great you are. Where the word brings life, a place full of hope, where faith will rise and worship breaks through the night. How great you are.
Sing it out this morning.
This house will be a house of grace with where the shadows flee, place of redemption and victory, and here every eye will see how great you are. Yeah. This house will be a house of grace, with hands held high to bless your name, Jesus Christ.
Let's go. You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for, be against me. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible.
Prestonwood. We have several that are coming to profess their faith in Christ through believer's baptism. Patrick and Trisha Cosby were invited here by their next door neighbor, the Shorts, and now God's worked in their life and they're coming to be baptized. Patrick, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you can stand here and watch Trisha. Trisha, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, I baptize you. Now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This is Kingsley Funk. Kingsley, are you following Christ in?
Yes, sir.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his command, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this young man is Trigg Fossler. Trigg is 10 years old. Trigg, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Leesley Fossler. Leesley, you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear with Christ the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Wow, wow, wow. What an amazing day of worship. You can grab a seat for me. I love that song. My favorite phrase out of that song is that the battle belongs to the Lord. Taken directly out of 2 Samuel 17 when David goes to fight Goliath. And aren't you glad that our God is with us in the battle? That he's our protector, that he's our guide, and that he guarantees the victory. Amen? Amen. Well, good morning to you. My name is Jason Snyder, and I'm the Minister of Spiritual Development here at Prestonwood. And it is my joy to welcome all of us here to worship this morning. And on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, and the entire Prestonwood family, welcome to you. If you're a guest in the room with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here. We want to get some information from you because we want to connect with you and plug you into the life of our church. So you can text GUEST this morning to 74788, or immediately following the service, you can go to Guest Central directly behind us in the atrium, where we've got a gift for you as well as one of Pastor's books. And a special greeting to those of you online in our online community this morning. We're so glad that you've tuned in to worship with us, and we pray that you sense the power of God, the presence of God, right where you're worshiping this morning from around the world. Well, dads, it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all of our dads and granddads in the room. We're so pleased that you led your family to come and worship here at Prestonwood this morning, and we want you to go home with a special Father's Day gift, some dad stuff, some guy stuff, if you will. So you can text 74788, text DAD to 74788, and it's going to give you some more information. We've got gift cards for you, as well as a book from our pastor, the man of God, and we want you to take that home. Well, there's so much going on in the life and ministry of our church, and the way that you find out about all that's going on is to pick up a Prestonwood today. And if you didn't have a chance to pick one up on your way in, you can text GUIDE to 74788, and we will text you one. I encourage you to take a moment to look at that and find out all that God is doing. Speaking of which, this week is Adventure Week at Prestonwood, where we're going to have about 5,000 kids on all of our campuses coming to learn more about Jesus, their walk with him, and deepening their personal faith. So please pray for us. It's going to be a huge week of ministry for us here at Prestonwood. Well, there's so much more to happen yet this morning. We've got more Christ-exalting worship as well as a powerful message from our North Campus pastor, Dr. Connor Bales. But before we get there, let's turn our attention to the screens, where Pastor is going to bring us a word and an update from Student Beach Camp.
Hey, Preston Wood, we are at Beach Camp, and we got some guys right here. Say hello to everybody.
Hey!
Yeah, and we are having an incredible time at Beach Camp. We're just finishing up this weekend. We thought on Father's Day, we would just say to all the men out there that we're celebrating you, and all the dads. So from all the students here at Prestonwood Beach Camp, we want to say happy Father's Day to every dad here. While I'm up at the North Campus today and excited about that, we are celebrating what God has done at camp, aren't we? We're getting ready for an incredible baptism service. We're going to baptize over get this, 130 young people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. Just getting started this summer because we have Adventure Week next week. That's Vacation Bible School, and we're going to have both churches, both campuses full of young people. These are our grade school age kids, and I want to thank in advance all of you who are serving in Adventure Week, and just be praying, church, that we have an incredible response as well. But you can see with just this little bit of what's happening in June, it's just getting started. Your giving, your support, your prayers is investing in lives just like these young men right here. And these guys, like everybody else here, they're fired up to go back to their homes, go back to the church, go back to their schools, and be a bright light for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just want to say thank you, Preston Wood. And in fact, on three, let's go. One, two, three.
Thank you, Preston Wood.
So God bless you. I look forward to seeing you very, very soon.
As we continue in worship, as we exalt the name of Jesus, let's lift him high with our praise.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame.
Oh,
Philippians 2 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, God our Father." At the name of Jesus, our thinking aligns. At the name of Jesus, chaos comes back into order. At the name of Jesus, we find meaning for life and worship. It is at the name of Jesus that our hearts are aligned. And so, church, as we sing the name of Jesus, let's proclaim his name, his greatness, his authority over our families, over our homes, over Plano, Pastor Connor, over Prosper, over all of Texas, that the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Jesus. Here we go. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Oh, your great name. Oh, your great name. Oh, your great name.
Sometimes I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. At night I hear lies telling me that I'm worthless. But I know you cover me, and your grace is all I need. So I'm gonna shout like the battle is over, and I'm gonna sing like the storm has passed, and I'll raise my hand. So
gonna sing like the storm has passed. I'm gonna shout hallelujah. I'm gonna sing like the storm has passed. I'll raise, now raise my hands in the joy of surrender.
Good to be with all of you here this morning, and for those of you tuning in with us online, welcome to worship at Prestonwood. My name is Connor Bales, and as Jason mentioned a moment ago, I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of the North Campus, and although I don't get down to Plano very often on a Sunday morning, on behalf of the entire North Campus family, I want to tell you how much we love you and how grateful we are to you for your long-time investment in us. And I want to ask you, if you would, to grab your copy of God's Word. It's my privilege to preach to you today from Matthew chapter 3. And as you're turning to Matthew chapter 3, there's a couple of significant things about today. The first is, you might not know this, but this is the first Sunday that our special friends have been able to return to us in regular, personal, in-person gathering on a weekend. And so today we celebrate that. Obviously, with the pandemic, that population group has had to be very cautious and careful, and under the leadership of Nicole Huggins, they do such a great job, and today they are with us, and so we see you, special friends, and so many volunteers who lead and serve, and so grateful for men like Craig Manson, who serve and give of their time tirelessly and effortlessly to serve, and so grateful for that. And in addition to that, today is Father's Day, and I'm always struck. Yeah, you can celebrate. One person loves their dad. That's a good thing. I'm always struck by the differences between how we celebrate Mother's Day versus Father's Day. Have you guys noticed that? So if Mother's Day had a theme song, it would be Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. If Father's Day had a theme song, it would be Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. Even at church, right? At church, we're like, moms, we love you. Here's flowers. Here's a sorority pose. And for dads, we're like, wake up, moron. You can do better. You know, we just celebrate differently, moms and dads. But listen, not on my watch. So church family, would you help me celebrate all of the men, the fathers and the grandfathers that are here today? Help me celebrate and honor them. Dads, granddads, we honor you, we celebrate you, and today I want to share with you from God's Word what I believe might be an encouragement to you. You see, I want us to examine God's Word because I believe it speaks clearly on the love of a perfect heavenly Father. And here's why that's so important, because not every person in the room has had a great experience with an earthly dad. Some people, for many people, Father's Day is a hard day because the relationship with our earthly dad wasn't what it should be. But listen, in the absence of that which is ideal, God's grace always abounds. And so today we will examine, we will see what is the love of a perfect Heavenly Father, despite what it was you experienced with your earthly dad. That's why I titled this morning's message, The Perfect Father for Imperfect Dads, because Mary and I have been blessed with 5 children, and I am an imperfect dad, and I need to learn from my perfect Heavenly Father on what it looks like to love and lead my family in light of the way God has so graciously loved me. But in addition to that, I hope that today we can not only equip our dads, but we can encourage our dads to run toward the high calling that is fatherhood, to run toward the necessary God-designed mechanism and means for shepherding and shaping families and communities and cultures at large. So I hope you're ready. Let's go. Matthew chapter 3. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, I would encourage you to look on with your neighbor sitting next to you. If they won't share their Bible with you and you live with them, you need to schedule an appointment with us. We always put the scriptures up on the screen behind me. Now, we're going to start together in verse 13, even though the verse we're going to concentrate on today is verse 17. And here's just a bit of context. We're going to see the baptism of Jesus, a great significant moment mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels. And the baptism of Jesus, you should know theologically, was not required, but it was redemptive. It had great rich heritage in Jewish tradition. It was a means by which purification and readiness to worship would have been accomplished, preparing the hearts of God's people to approach his throne and to rightly worship him. But in addition to that, Jesus in this moment redeems it so that you and I might know what baptism means for us. We might see that if it was good enough for God's Son, it should be good enough for you and me. So we're Matthew chapter 3. We're going to start reading together in verse number 13. If you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And verse 17 will be our verse of concentration. So if you mark or highlight in your Bibles, and you should, I want to encourage you to underline all of it. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This morning, I want to show you 4 things, lessons, that I believe are very significant we see in the perfect Heavenly Father that might equip and encourage us as imperfect earthly dads. If you're taking notes, let me encourage you to write some things down. The first is this. We see from our Heavenly Father that there is power in presence. There is power in presence. I want to notice immediately that in this story, the first observation worthy of our mention as it relates to our perfect Heavenly Father is this. He showed up. In this moment of significance, God the Father showed up. And it's so significant for us to see this because it speaks so clearly to the character of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible would tell us over and over again that this is how God has always been. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 would say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But in the New Testament, in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus spends an expansive amount of time teaching on God the Holy Spirit. And over again, he's going to describe God the Spirit in terms of a helper and a comforter, and that he is a guide. And he's going to speak about God's Spirit indwelling us. In fact, Jesus would say, it's better for me to go to heaven so that the Spirit of God, which indwells you, will come to earth. God's presence is a reflection of his character, and his presence is always near. And we know the significance of the ministry of presence. I grew up in Central Texas. I grew up in Waco. We didn't move to Dallas until I was a sophomore in high school. I went to a very small
private school. And because there were not a lot of other private schools for us to play athletics against, we played other small Central Texas towns, places many of you have never heard of, Chilton and Hubbard and Crawford before President Bush made it cool, and La Vega and Lorena, and all these small Central Texas towns where we would compete in junior high athletics. And I can tell you that many times there were 9 people in a junior high football stands watching a game that I was playing in. But my dad was almost always one of them. And it meant so much to me to know that I could look up in those stands and see him. And do you know how many Frito chili pies my dad ate at La Vega? Do you know how much heartburn my dad earned because he was willing to show up? And it made such a difference for me. And family, I don't know who needs to hear this word today, but your Heavenly Father, He is always there. And when your earthly dad was absent, your Heavenly Father has never missed a single game. He's never missed a single pitch. He's never missed a single concert, a single performance. He's never missed a moment crying in your pillow in your room at night. He's always there. Even when your earthly dad was missing, God has always been present. He's always near. He always sees. He always knows. He always hears. God is never far away. And men, I want to encourage you today to give your children and your grandchildren the significance, the importance of the gift of presence. Your presence. Just, fellas, show up because it matters so much. My family got to go to family camp a few weeks ago and it was incredible. And my youngest daughter, my 7-year-old Campbell, wanted to do the ropes course. And so at first she tried to climb the rock wall, and to her credit, she got about halfway up. I was really proud of her. And then she got nervous. She has her dad's fear of heights. And so she kind of decided that that was far enough and she wanted to come down. So we hung out and did some other things. My son did almost everything. And so we were just watching and celebrating. And a few minutes later, she had had a friend or two that had accomplished the rock wall and had done the zip line that is the reward at the end of it. And so she decided that she wanted to try again. And so I said, well, hey, I think you can do it. So she got the gear on, and I was cheering her on, and I said, I'll be standing right here, and I'll be watching you over there, and I'll be cheering and celebrating the whole time. And do you know what she said to me? She turned and said, Daddy, would you come a little closer so that I can hear your voice? Now, that is the power of a father's presence. Amen. That there's something so significant about her wanting to know that I was just nearby and she could see me and she could feel me and she could hear my voice. Family, I want you to know God has never left you. He's never abandoned you. Your earthly dad might have run. Your earthly dad didn't show up, but your Heavenly Father, He has always been there. Look around and listen. And you too can hear His voice. And I think it's significant that if the Father showed up in this moment with Jesus, His Son, then I think earthly dads should show up for our kids too. There's power in presence. And I don't want it to get lost this morning because I know we have a lot of single moms that are here in the room as well, watching with us online. And I've heard it said before that where the ideal is lacking, God's grace always abounds. This is where the church gets to show up and be the church. One of my heroes, a man in the ministry named Joe Perry, founded a ministry called PALS. And that was the heartbeat, was to come alongside single parents and provide a father figure that could serve students and especially young men and encourage them and raise them up. His son, Ryan, is now championing that ministry even today. And so, single parents, be not discouraged. Where the ideal is lacking, God's grace always abounds. And this is where the church gets to show up and be the church. And so, men, when you roll up your sleeves, when you agree to serve God's church, just know you might just be the dad that some kid never had. Amen. This is where we get to show up and show off the grace of God. Let's keep reading. There's so much more. Verse 17 again. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. The second thing we discover about our perfect Heavenly Father that can transform us as imperfect earthly dads is this: there's power in identity. There's such power in identity. I want to draw your attention to the words of God the Father immediately as He speaks. He says, "This is my beloved Son." You can almost hear the pride in God the Father's voice. It's like He's saying, "That one, hey everybody, that one over there, you see him? He belongs to me. He's with me. I claim him." And I want you to notice that God claimed Christ before He's done any miraculous works and astounded a watching world. God claims Jesus and gives him his identity from the start. I think it's always heartbreaking, don't you, when you hear stories about an absent earthly dad who never showed up until their kid made it. And then they're on the scene and they're acting like they had something to do with his or her success. Kelly Clarkson's written a song called "Piece by Piece." It tears me up every time I listen to it. And that's the entire purpose and point of the song. I'm not a perfect earthly dad. I'm very imperfect, very flawed. My kids will testify to that anytime you ask. But one of the things I have tried to do for all of their life so that they would know that I claim them, regardless of what they do, regardless of how well they do it, is that when they have concerts, when they have games or events, and we walk into those rooms, I'm always trying to acknowledge them and to celebrate them before the show ever starts. I'm a theater teacher's worst nightmare. I'm going to be honest with you. Because when we walk in, I'm like, I'm giving them a bird call from the back because I'm like, hey, 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 I'm your guy, right? So I just want to acknowledge him and celebrate him. And so when they parade my kid in, I'm like, that's mine. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. And then, obviously, after the concert has concluded, I celebrate them for their success. I'm so proud of you. You did so good. You sang so well. You memorized all your lines. That was awesome. But I celebrate them before the show begins so that when I celebrate them at its conclusion, they know that they belong to me regardless of how well they did or what they did. And that's what God the Father does. He says, "This one is mine. This is my beloved Son. I claim him." And here's the power of the gospel. You ready? That when you come to faith in Christ and you're saved, the Bible says you are new. And God gives us an identity that tracks with that. Think about the scriptures. They tell us this over and over, that according to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, we receive a new heart. According to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, a new spirit. According to Revelation 2:17, a new name. According to Psalm 40, verse 3, a new song. 2 Corinthians 5:17 would tell us we're a new creation. Galatians 6:15 says we're a new creature. Ephesians 4:24 says that we are a new man. The scriptures are clear. Even according to Ephesians chapter 1, when we are saved, when we are made new, we are adopted as children of God, and our identity has now been found in Jesus Christ. God claims you. And he doesn't claim you because of what you've done. He claims you because of whose you are. So you see, God the Father shows up, right? The first thing he says is, "This one's mine. I claim him." Mary and I have a number of family friends who have adopted children. Some have adopted children locally, and some have adopted children internationally. And most adoption families will celebrate their child's gotcha day. That's what they call it when they go to claim their child. So whether they fly to the Far East and they claim a child through an international adoption, or whether they drive to a different part of our city and they claim a child that they are adopting from right here. Either way, it's a gotcha day. It's a claiming. This one's mine. I claim him. I claim her. Well, listen, family, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when you transfer hope and confidence from self and give that over to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, it's your gotcha day. It's your claim ticket. And God says, "She belongs to me. He belongs to me." And there is such power when we receive our identity in Jesus Christ. And God gives Jesus his identity. Keep reading verse 17 again. "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" The next thing we discover about our perfect Heavenly Father that can transform us as imperfect earthly dads is this: there's such power in unconditional love. such significance and unconditional love. The language that God uses to describe Jesus in verse 17 is that of a beloved son, and it is absolutely stunning to me that God would choose those words. I mean, in a world today where love is so often earned based on a performance or an allegiance, God the Father tells his son that he loves him for no other reason than Jesus belongs to him. Right? You see that. So we first see the ministry of presence, then we see the gift of identity, and then God says, and this is my beloved son. And do you know why God has such love for his son? Because he said, he belongs to me. I love him. Not because of what he has done, not even because of what he is going to do. I love him because he's mine. Like, think about the significance of what it is that God has done and the timing in which he does that. Jesus has not yet turned water into wine. He hasn't calmed any violent storms. He hasn't walked on water. He hasn't fed thousands of people. He's not yet cured the woman with the bleeding disorder or restored the blind man's sight. He hasn't forgiven the sins of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus has not healed the paralytic. He has not turned over tables in the temple. He hasn't washed the disciples' feet. And he certainly hadn't died on a cross for the sins of the world. And yet God says, I love him. Before Jesus ever does anything that by the world's definition would have earned that love, God says, I love him. And I love him for no other reason than he's mine. He belongs to me. And by the way, this is the good news of the gospel. Aren't you so grateful that God didn't send Jesus to die on Calvary's cross when you earned it or when we deserved it? John chapter 3, verse 16 says, God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. How about Romans chapter 5, verse 8? But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We have done nothing to earn or deserve the unconditional love of God in Jesus Christ. But God says, here you go, and you can have it because you belong to me. Amen. It's so significant when a parent will give unconditional love to a child, when a dad will give unconditional love to a kid before they've accomplished great things that the world would say then earns them that love from their father. See, Jesus is going to do significant things. Think about that. Jesus is going to do miraculous things. He's going to do divine things. But God describes Jesus as being one whom he loves long before those things ever take place. And so, dads, if I could exhort you today, if I could encourage you today, tell your kids you love them for no other reason than God gave them to you. Amen. Tell your kids you love them before the test. Tell your kids you love them before the big game. Tell your kids you love them before they earn the college acceptance letter. Tell your kids you love them before their graduation, before they make straight A's, before they hit the home run, before they make the winning shot, before their great success, and tell them why. I love you because I can't believe God gave you to me. That's what the Father does. That's what the Heavenly Father does to Jesus, his Son. You might not know this. Mary and I said a moment ago, have 5 children. My oldest is a senior in high school. She's 17. Then I have a freshman in high school. He's 14, almost 15. And then I have Libby and Hannah that are 12 years old and 9 years old. And they're in the active learning classroom at Prosper ISD. And then I have a second grader who's 7. And my 2 girls in the middle, Libby and Hannah, that are 12 and 9, have a very rare chromosomal abnormality. And it has rendered them significantly disabled. Neither girl can walk or talk. They have, they're 12 and 9 years of age, but developmentally about 9 months. And so I've learned the significance of unconditional love because according to the way the world would define it, my girls will never achieve earthly success. My girls are never going to make straight A's. They're never going to hit the winning jump shot. They're never going to pass the test. There will be no college acceptance letter. I'll never walk them down an aisle, but I tell them as often as I can that I love them. And do you know why? Because God gave them to me. And look up here at me, everybody in the room, do you understand that sin disables all of us? And God has looked down from heaven, and he has sent his only son to rescue and redeem us from that. And God says to you and me, and the evidence being that his son died for our sins, I love you, and I don't love you because of what you're going to do. I love you because you belong to me. And we see this. And so dads, maybe this morning, granddads in the room, maybe this morning you need to grab your phone, even now, and you need to shoot a text message to your kiddo or to your grandchild, and you need to tell them, I love you. And I don't love you because of what you've done. I don't love you because of the scholarship that you've earned. I love you because you're mine, and I can't believe God entrusted you to me. See, that's what our Heavenly Father does with his son, Jesus, and it's so significant for us to see and to learn as well. Finally, I want to read verse 17 one last time. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." I think the last lesson that I gleaned, at least in my study, from the words and the work of our perfect Heavenly Father as he encourages us as imperfect earthly dads is this. There is such power in speaking joy. There is such power in speaking joy. You would all agree that our words are so significant, would you not? That we can either build up and do so many great things with our words, or in a moment, how many of you have had your world torn down by someone's harsh words as well? You see, in this moment, the longest phrase in this short sentence uttered by our Heavenly Father is one of describing the joy he finds in his son Jesus. It's as though God the Father is telling a watching world how proud he is of his son. He says, I'm pleased with him. This one, the one I claim, my beloved son, the one I love who hasn't yet done anything by the world's measurement to earn or deserve that. He brings me such joy. He makes me so happy. I'm so proud of him. And listen, here's what's significant, that God certainly says this to Jesus, but he also says it about Jesus to those that are around and listening. So you understand, dads, there's something significant when you brag on your kid to your kid. But then there's something even more significant when you brag on your kid and your kid can see you doing so with others around. He's so proud in this moment that he speaks about a joy that Jesus brings. I think there's an encouragement in here for all of us. And it's so significant. It's not lost on me that he speaks about the joy that Jesus brings, again, long before the earthly ministry of Jesus ever seems to yield or earn a credit for it. In fact, in the very next chapter, the very first task in the earthly ministry of Christ is enduring 40 days of temptation from the enemy in the wilderness. You know, the earthly ministry of Jesus begins and ends with such great difficulty. I've just been wondering, and again, this is totally subjective, this isn't directly in the text, but I've been wondering if it wasn't that God spoke this joy over Jesus, if he didn't speak this life over his son, in part in preparation, knowing that Jesus was about to be driven into the wilderness and face 40 days of very difficult temptation as a result. And wasn't God perhaps preparing Jesus for some hardship? And the way in which he readied him to do that great work was by speaking life to him before it ever began. Such power in our words. You know, many times I've been under conviction just this week in my study that the last thing I said to my kids before I dropped them off at school was a harsh word of rebuke. And then they hopped out of the car because of something silly. They forgot their homework. They overslept their alarm. Now, again, I'm not saying those things don't matter, and I'm not saying we shouldn't bring course correction when they show up, but I'm saying if that's the last thing my kids hear, and that's the way in which I send them off, then I'm wondering whether or not I'm speaking life and preparing them for the battle that they are going to endure, readying them for the war that is waging for the hearts and souls of our kids. And we know the power of this principle, don't we? It's true for us. Everybody in this room has got somebody that you can think of right now that you love being around them, because when they speak life to you. They're what I call life givers. Like Mary and I have friends that we go out on double dates with, and when we hop in the car at the end of the night, it's just easy. And we're both smiling because these friends, they give life. They speak life to us and over us. They're life givers. But we all know that other person, that when we spend time with them, they don't speak joy. They're negative and discouraging. They're always bringing us down. They're not life givers, they're life takers. Dads, might we learn from our Heavenly Father that we would speak life to our kids, that we would speak joy over our children, that we would be life givers with our words and not life takers. Fathers in the room, if I were to ask you today, and we were to take a poll of your family, would your children say that my dad is a dad of joy with occasional moments of discouragement and frustration sprinkled in? Or would they say my dad is a dad of discouragement and frustration with occasional moments of joy that show up from time to time? Amen or ouch? See, the Heavenly Father in this moment, before God the Son ever does anything that the world would say then earns the credit for his love, he just speaks joy. I'm so proud of him. He brings me such joy. And so, Dad, if I can encourage you today, speak joy to your kids. Speak joy about your kids. Speak life over your kids, because your words really matter. And so to everyone in the room, did you realize that the words that God the Heavenly Father speaks to God the Son in this moment, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you are born again and saved, these are words that the Heavenly Father speaks that apply to you and me as well. In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the Bible would say, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're in Christ, you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High. And look up here at me. Regardless of what your earthly father said, regardless of what your earthly father did, regardless of whether or not your earthly father showed up or was absent for all of your life, your Heavenly Father has given you, through his Son, the ministry of his presence. He's always there. He's always near. He's never far. He always hears. He always sees. You have in our Heavenly Father the ministry of his presence all the time. And he's given you a name. You are a Christian. You're called a Christian because you belong to Christ. Your identity has changed. You have a new name, a new spirit. You're a new creation, a new creature. You are a new man in Christ Jesus. God looks down and says, you belong to me. And he loves you. I know Father's Day can be hard because so many of us are missing the love of an earthly dad, but your Heavenly Father loves you. And the cross is the testimony that proves that true. He loves you. He doesn't love a future version of you. He doesn't love the you who you wish you were. He loves you as you are, where you are, and the fact that Jesus went to Calvary's cross is proof that that is true. And he speaks life You make him happy. You bring God the Father joy. Not because of what you've done, not because of the grades you earn, not because of the money you make, not because of the awards that you've received, but because he says, you belong to me. I love you, and I'm proud of you because of that. And so, the only way that this is true is if you are a child of God. And so this morning, I want to invite you. If you don't know where you are in regard to your relationship with our Heavenly Father, you can. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, in a moment you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will not be a stranger. You will no longer be an orphan, but rather, it's your gotcha day. And the claim ticket is Christ. And he says, I've come to save you. And there are some in this room and some watching online who need to give your life to Christ. And you need to receive the presence and the identity and the unconditional love and the joy that God the Father can bring. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And if that's you, just right where you are, just pray and say, God, save me. Save me. And there'll be ministers at the front of each of these aisles. We have ministry staff standing by online that would love to connect with you if you are praying to receive Christ and experience the love of a perfect Heavenly Father. But others in this room, today's the day you've decided you want to link arm with us here at Prestonwood. We are a family. That's how we talk about ourselves. But we're an imperfect family who worships and serves a perfect God and King. And so we would invite you to join our family today. Or maybe you need to be baptized like those who were so courageous and bold to go public with their testimony today. Or maybe you're a dad and you're under conviction for the way in which you've failed to love. And today you're seeing the way that our Heavenly Father has perfectly loved each one of us. And so today you just want to pray with a minister. Or maybe you carry a wound from the absence of an earthly father. Or maybe you're a single parent who's struggling to navigate, and Father's Day is a reminder that things are hard. Our church staff would be honored to pray with you and for you about whatever it is that God is doing in you and the work that he has for you, if you would entrust us with that. But whatever it is, I'm going to encourage you. I'm inviting you to respond in faith. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are, God. And we thank you for all that you have done. God, we thank you that your presence never leaves. You're always there. We thank you for the identity that you give us, that when we respond in faith and receive Christ, the Bible says we're marked because we belong to you. God, thank you for the unconditional love, that there's nothing we've done to earn or deserve your favor, but you love us. And Jesus Christ is the proof positive that that is true. And God, thank you for speaking joy. May we be men, fathers, dads who speak life to our kids, who speak joy to our kids and about our kids. Lord, we acknowledge we're imperfect dads, imperfect parents, imperfect people. But you're the perfect Heavenly Father who loves us despite that. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm praying that you would move in the hearts of your people. We trust you and we ask this from you. We believe in you and pray to you and through you in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.